the Doctor.
It's clobbering time.
Engage. Shazam!
Chevron 7, lock.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Kawabunga.
Welcome to the Hero. Sorry about that. To the Hero Asylum. What is it? We're on issue
39.
39.
That's right. For you people keeping score at home, if we were on Survivor, we would have won the game.
Pretty much. We're off the island by now. We're winning. We're collecting all the belongings. We're on a yacht. We're listening to yacht rock music. We're rocking. We're rocking, man. Well, maybe not yacht rock music. Just saying. Hey, Captain. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing flipping fantastic, man. Enjoying this fall day as the weather starts to get a little bit cooler here in the Sunshine State. But not too much stuff dropped this week, but we got some stuff, I guess.
Got some goodies. I think it's been a average week, I think, you know, for news. A lot of, like, you know, rumors and hidden pictures from, you know, behind sets and that kind of thing, I think, is really what we got this week.
Yeah, we got some good stuff, but I guess we're going to start on a down note.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Robert Forrester passed away this week. If anybody's not familiar, I think his, you know, probably more current would be he was on the show Breaking Bad, also El Camino show or movie. And he was also, for some of you comic book fans, Heroes. He was on Heroes. Also, one of my favorite shows. I was surprised I liked it, but Last Man Standing, he was also on that. Goodness, I mean, you just go back. Black Hole. You talk about a great Disney movie.
Oh, like, God. A throwback. Holy crap. Was he in Black Hole?
He was in Black Hole, yeah. A movie screaming for a remake.
Dying for a remake.
I think that would be good. And, of course, he was in Delta Force. So, I mean, the guy had a great career. I did like him. And, you know, whenever I did see him, I was always happy to see him. Actually, I think he was also in one of your favorite movies or Twin Peaks or the remake of Twin Peaks.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Did a fine role. He was I saw him recently in El Camino, which the review is up on the Midnight Movie Review page, by the way. Just a little shameless plug. But he was in El Camino. He didn't have a huge role, but his role was pretty meaty, is all I'll say. And it sucks that we lost another great character actor. We always lose these character actors. We don't lose the jackasses, but we lose, like, the thespians of the world. So it sucks. You know, the world's a little bit less brighter with him in it. So rest in peace, and thoughts and prayers go out to his family right now.
Yeah, yeah. Rest in peace, big bag of win, as a good old Kevin Smith would say. So what we're going to do, since we got the bad news out of the way, hopefully, you know, we won't have these every week, but when we do, we'll definitely acknowledge those folks. We're going to jump into the Admissions Ward next.
News from the Admissions Ward.
So what do you got, sir, for this week?
Well, I got live cast. Well, the live cast has been announced for the live-action TV series, which is coming to Hulu, of Marvel's Hellstorm. Now, this is not the Hellstorm that I thought. I thought it was going to be Damien Hellstorm, but it's actually a far different one. I actually have never heard of this, and a lot of the character actors, I guess they're mostly character actors. All the actors have been cast, and I'll just go through them, and I'll give you a couple of points. Sidney Lumet, he has been cast as, what is it? John Hellstorm. We have Elizabeth Marvel as Victoria Hellstorm. Robert Wisdom has been cast as the caretaker. June Carell has been cast as Dr. Louise Hastings. Irina Guerrera has been cast as a woman. What is her name? Just some doctor. Doesn't say what her character name is. And the rest of them have no synopses on them. But yeah, they've begun casting. I guess they're going to start pretty much, they're in pre-production right now, so that should be coming out sometime. I would probably venture sometime in the middle of 2020 next year, but Hellstorm is not one of those. I've heard of Damien Hellstorm, but this is a new one for me. Have you heard of Hellstorm?
No, because I thought that's what they were doing. I mean, the early reviews and early rumors that were coming out was Hellstorm.
Hmm.
So I'm not exactly, I'm kind of not sure on what they're doing. I do know Marvel is, changing a lot up. They, they are, in the middle of the MCU. So I don't know if maybe they're tweaking certain characters to go certain ways. And that's what they're doing. So, we're getting some sort of content. Let me try that, easy for me to say, from Marvel onto Hulu. So it'd be interesting to just see what direction they go in this route.
Yeah, I should have known from the synopses. It said, basically these two hellstorms worked for some kind of agency. They escaped. They're on the run from this superpowered, global agency, because in every movie you have to have a powerful global agency. That's a bunch of killers. That's a nod to John Schnepp, by the way. It's always a gigantic agency of murderers and killers. They can't uphold the law. They have to be just murderers.
Yeah, you have to have the man coming after him at some point, some version of the man.
So if anybody has any idea on what this Hellstorm comic is, I'd be, drop your comments on the Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram, because, like I said, my only knowledge is of Damian Hellstorm. So,
And like I said before, even the artwork they showed on a couple of the news drops were of that. So I think a lot of the news groups out there were thinking the same thing when the rumors were dropping. So we'll see.
We'll see. So what do you got, Mike?
Oh, Birds of Prey. We saw the Birds of Prey full trailer last week dropped. I was interested. I have a feeling it was very heavy. Like, Joker should have been in there. I think that's how Black Mask, kind of was portrayed. But what came after that was Ewan McGregor was actually doing a interview with Premiere. It's a French magazine, and he was talking about the show or this movie and about how heavily feminist it is. And he says that is one of the things that interested him in going there was it was extremely strong on the feminist side, because if you look at, especially when you look at the relationship of a Harley and Joker, he was a very abusive, misogynist type character. And this is just kind of the, I don't want to call it Girls Gone Wild, because that's not what it is, but it's the feminism, it's the women's movement of the comic book movies, I believe, with all the female characters coming out. And again, that's why Black Mask seems so over the top in the trailers.
Basically the title gave it away, Birds of Prey. I mean, I figured, it's going to be a chick liberation movie, but it's all cool. I just didn't like the portrayal of Black Mask. He looked too Joker-y, as you would say. That's not the Black Mask that I've read about for years. Hell, it's not even the Black Mask from the Arkham games. Or is it the Black Mask? A little spoiler if you ever play the Arkham games. But it's just, I don't know. Of all the DC things that has come out recently, or this one's down the pike, I'm kind of hesitant on this one. I kind of feel this is we're girls, we're here, and we can kick ass, too. I'm like, okay, that's great. I don't mind it.
I think I'm kind of in the same way. I think that you want to do that type of story. That's great. Don't change the Black Mask, because honestly, the Black Mask is a misogynist pig to begin with. You don't have to make him over flamboyant like he seemed. And it seemed very bright, almost Schumacher bright for Batman and Robin. There was a lot of fluorescent lighting in the background of some of those scenes. So that
very, very bright.
So, I understand they want to have representation in these movies. I get that, completely get it. But there's certain things you don't have to change. You don't have to, go around. And we'll see. But I'm on the same boat as you are. That's the one DC recently. I'm like, man, we've been making some great steps in the DC movie world. This one's like they're stepping on a wobbly rock crossing a creek right now.
Yeah, I'm just like, please be. At least be decent, because I know the movie looks like it's going to be fun. But I just hope the Black Mask we saw in those trailers is not the Black Mask we see in the movie. Hopefully he's more of a, hopefully that's just more of him being a goofball.
I think so. It might be before he puts on the mask. Because I think you did say you thought you saw the mask in the background.
Yeah, saw something in the trailer looked like reminiscent of the Black Mask mask. So
yeah,
try to say that twice. But I just hope he is the Black Mask that I know and love, because that's not the Black Mask that I love. That's somebody else. That's some guy you meet at a bar, 2 o'clock in the morning, he's buying you shots. That's not Black Mask. He probably hangs out the Winchester too. So.
Probably plays host karaoke night.
Yeah, he might.
It's all right. He doesn't listen to the podcast. Don't worry, we can get away with that one.
Yeah, well, he should.
So, what do you have next?
Well, guess what, Mike? Speaking of the female empowerment, not that I have a problem with female empowerment, John Wick is going to splinter off into, guess what, a female-driven led movie called The Ballerina. Wow. Now, if you saw John Wick 3, there is a moment with, I forgot her name. I think it's Angelica Houston. She has a character in the movie that you see, spoilers if you haven't seen John Wick 3, but it's been out for almost 6 months. John goes there, basically it's kind of like these gypsy type of tribe, and it shows John's tattoo. Basically, this is letting you to believe this is where John was trained and everything. And at the beginning, when John goes into this theater that Angelica Houston is in, you see a ballerina just dancing around, and basically Angelica's telling her to get up. But as John goes into this world and tries to get a favor from Angelica Houston, you see the ballerina is not exactly who you think she is. You see thousands of ballerinas training to be female assassins. So when I heard this premise, I was like, you know, out of all the things that to come out of that movie, this, along with the Continental, kind of makes sense. And if you do it well enough, you know, if you get one of the brothers to do it or somebody else, it could be a really good movie. Go low budget. I recently saw Anna, which is kind of like what I think they might be going for. But if you can make a better version of that in the John Wick world, I think you got something on your hands. What do you think, Mike?
I liked it. I was a little, I guess, pissed off on the clickbait of the article, because it's not a female John Wick. It's a different character. Just happens to be taking place in that world, which kind of I hate it when they do that to try to, you know, get some sort of like emotion out of people, which it did. I mean, the title did it for me. I got mad at that title. It's like, no, don't say it's a female John Wick. It's not a female John Wick. It's a character in that world. There's a whole bunch of characters like that. I'm looking. I think it sounds great. I mean, it's being directed right now. The Ballerina is going to be directed by Len Wiseman, Underworld and Swamp Thing fame. So
perfect, awesome. Perfect.
They're talking Shea Hayden who wrote John Wick 3 and has also did the writing for Army of the Dead for Zack Snyder on Netflix. So looks like a really cool concept. Again, you and I had to talk when John Wick 3 came out. The world building, it got a little too crazy for me. As long as they keep it kind of in within New York and kind of keep it, go back to that feel, I think I'll be happy with it. I did love what was it? Was it Anna that just came out?
Yeah, that's
early this year. Yeah, I like that one. What's the one that you and Raven said to me that you guys loved? Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, great movie. Great soundtrack too.
Oh, great, great. I mean, those spy female movies, those are always fun. So if they're going with that, great. If they're throwing in what's the wording for it? Gun kata or gun karate or whatever?
Gun kata. Gun Get kata. It right.
Okay,
or gung fu. You can go gun kata, gung fu.
So, but yeah, if they go with that, right, I think it'll be fun, because those other movies have been fun too. I just, you know, just the female John Wick. I go, no, it's not female John Wick. It's not going to be Jane Wick, all right, or Joan Wick. It's not
Jane Wick.
Just, yeah,
it should be like it should be Martha Stewart, Martha Wick. There you go.
That I believe, especially after, you know, she's got some. She's got some more street creds than the most rapper.
Hey man, she smokes out with Snoop Dogg, so don't mess with Martha Stewart, man. She will fuck you up. But
but yeah, no, I'm looking. I think it'll be a fun movie. It's a good movie or TV.
It's gonna be TV movie. It's movie. It's movie. Continental is gonna be TV. So. And by the way, Gun Kata, the sequel to Jim Kata, will be coming out next year. I guess it's my turn. Yeah.
No, you just dropped the John Wick one. I'm gonna go back to DC World, because the Suicide Squad photos, their little set photos dropped week. And it's interesting once you actually look at it and realize that this is probably Team A, and Team A gets fucked if you really look at them. Because you do see Captain Boomerang in there, which Captain Boomerang is a return character, as well as, you know, Harley Quinn will be in this one.
Got a brand new jacket, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one of the articles I was reading. They're like, oh, you go to jacket. What's up with the jacket? You can change clothes. It's okay to change clothes, guys. You know, after the shit he went through on the last movie, I'm pretty sure it was dirty.
Oh, yeah.
But so basically what they are showing is you see a few of the actors around. You see Nathan Fillion there, who will be playing Arm Falloff Boy.
Never heard of him.
I'm trying to remember who he goes against. Really like throwaway character. Like I said, this is like even C level character. You have Sean Gunn, who's supposed to be playing Weasel. You also had Pete Davidson, which I hope this whole rumor about this group getting killed off right away, I think is great if he's part of it. Davidson is Blackguard or Savant. You have Fula Borg, who's playing Javelin, and Javelin's a fairly known one. And this one surprised the living hell out of me. Mei Ling Nig is playing Mongol.
Really?
The female version of Mongol. But Mongal, and yeah, that's how you pronounce it, Mongal. And which I thought was cool. I was like, wow, they didn't go with Mongol, but they went with the female version of him. And I'm like, are they going to maybe eventually pull in Mongol then? Because if you actually look at it, you can see definitely,
I like to see Mongol fitting in that world. I mean, if he's the villain of Suicide Squad or the Suicide Squad, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, it's better than the Enchantress in that first.
I like the Enchantress.
Do you like that Oogie Boogie dance or that dance like an Egyptian dance, the one that she was doing? That was terrible.
I'm sorry.
I love Cara Delevingne, but that was...
But they're talking, really, a lot of the rumors is these guys are going to be the throwaway. These will be these first Suicide Squad, and it'll explain why we did not see, didn't see Harley Quinn. We didn't see Rick Flagg. We didn't see Polka Dot Man in this. We didn't see the Peacemaker. Ratcatcher's supposed to be in this, and Alba's supposed to be, I think they're thinking that he might be he might be playing Vigilante. So we didn't see the big characters. So we know that those guys are still there. So I think this is from what a lot of the rumors are saying, that these guys are the ones that get knocked off to draw in the next Task Force X group.
I don't know. I know what they're trying to do. I mean, they're trying to do like a Deadpool 2 thing, which I think was the greatest thing about Deadpool 2, by the way, when they killed off basically X-Force in like the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're trying to replicate that. I mean, it could be fun.
But no, that is the whole point of...
I know.
They're all going to be dying. They died eventually. So it's a good way of showing, hey, this shit does happen. And it's a good way of maybe explaining also what happened to the other movie. Why aren't we seeing everybody back? Did Deadshot die or did he escape? Where's Croc? This is their way of explaining why this is a different group. But I also do know there's some heavy comedy in this, so I'm a little worried on that side of it.
Yeah, hopefully not too comedic. I mean, if it's like Guardians of the Galaxy humor, then I'm cool with it. But just don't go no further than that. At least have a little bit of a slight serious tone to it. So. But it should be interesting. It should be very interesting.
Yes, sir. So what do you have next, sir?
Guess what? New York Comic Con has revealed the definitive DC Universe timeline, which I found fascinating, by the way. And they lead off basically saying that the first hero in this new continuity is Wonder Woman, which makes a lot of sense to me. She's been around. She's immortal, basically. She is basically a demigod. And they're going from there, so... The timeline is interesting because they're making Wonder Woman the first kind of like Justice League member out there. And they go from there, they go Superman, Batman, and et cetera, et cetera. But I just found it interesting that they're actually leading with Wonder Woman. Go figure, another female figure, since we are in the era of the female. Why not? But Wonder Woman makes a lot of sense because this is not about female empowerment. It's more about timeline. And she's been around for a while, so I kind of dig it. What do you think?
I mean, I could see that, but I thought they would have gone with maybe somebody more older, because I mean that's kind of limiting their influence. I mean, unless they're never going to touch a Vandal Savage or anybody like that.
He's been touched in the TV world, but not in the
TV. So they're talking specifically the universe, the cinematic universe, right?
I believe it's the comics, and they're kind of trying to spin it off into the movie verse as well. So.
Really, the comics, and then that kills off tons of people. Then name? The caveman.
That's Vandal Savage.
There's the immortal man. There's Vandal. There was another caveman, a young guy that got drifted into the future. He was in the Infinity the Crisis on Infinite, the very first Crisis. He was part of the team that helped them in the future because he got transferred around. So I'm not sure. Yeah, that's kind of weird for comics. I could definitely say in the cinematic universe, yeah, stick to that.
Yeah.
But comics, you have it's like Marvel saying, okay, hey, we're gonna start here. Mr. Sinister is the beginning. Well, what about Apocalypse? What about all these other characters that have been around? So it's kind of weird to put a definitive date on your world.
Well, I mean, it's interesting what they're going to do. I mean, they're always changing stuff around in DC. I mean, their timelines are always, kind of convoluted after a while, but they always break them up. So,
right. Well, like I said, if this is the movie world, completely get that. That's cool. But the comics, if this is they're talking comics, that's a little whacked out.
I guess we'll have to see going forward.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. next one I have from Netflix.
Hi, Netflix.
Earlier this year, there was announced that Mr. Michael Bay was directing a movie for Netflix called the title of it was Six Underground. It was set to star Ryan Reynolds, Dave Franco, a few other big stars were in there. But apparently, this was one of those secret movie titles that they are actually been working on a Thundercats movie.
What?
For Netflix. Yes, sir. This one came down. I've seen two reports from this one. So, yeah. So, they've been kind of secretly working on something. So, I'm iffy on it. Right, Reynolds is attached. Franco's attached. I'm kind of good on those. Bay kind of redeemed himself. And I know I'm probably going to get some really nasty comments on this one. I think he redeemed himself on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. A lot of people didn't like that. I thought it was a better redemption than what he did on Transformers.
Yeah, I dug them. They were fine.
Because I felt that they were more attuned to the 80s cartoon, to what we knew. Yet, no, they weren't the black and white turtles. Okay, we're probably never going to get a version of that as much as we would love to see something in that genre. But for the general public, they remember the 80s cartoon, and that's really what that was. I mean, the turtlemobile shooting out the freaking the street covers, and it had everything that I wanted to see from the TV show to on the movie. And so I think he kind of redeemed himself in that aspect. So I see what they can do on Thundercats. That's a touchy one, because you not only have to get the story right, you have to get the looks right. That's we've seen Cats, right? And I don't know if anybody out there saw Cats. I unfortunately did.
Wow, yeah, really?
I didn't pay money for it. Don't worry. that one, I'll admit that I didn't pay money for, but I did see
just
it.
Just making sure.
So they just didn't come across right. And really, that's what you're going to have to make them look like if they're going to do Thundercats. And folks, I'm putting up air quotes on this one. So that's my only concern is the look. How's it going to look?
Well, Bay's done a good job in the past with his special effects. I mean, even those Transformers movies are horrible, the CGI was good in that. And Turtles with CGI was good. But, depends. And I just hope they don't make it a goofy Thundercats, because Thundercats is not really... No. I mean, the surface, it's goofy, it's a kid show, but I kind of hope they just take it a tad bit seriously. I mean, their whole planet blew up and they had to migrate to another world and all that other stuff. But, I mean... I just wonder who Ryan Reynolds is going to play. I guess he's going to play Lionel, right? I guess that's what we're assuming.
So maybe, yeah. I mean, that's the only one I can think of. I mean, and unless he
Dave Franco's going to play Snarf, I guess.
Snarf. I don't think he's big enough for Panthro, so I don't think that'll work.
I think Ving Rhames should play Panthro.
Oh yeah, well yeah. If he was there,
R.I.P. Oh no, he's alive. Wait, Michael Clark Duncan is one. I'm sorry,
yeah, Michael Clark. Sorry,
that's I love you, Ving. Sorry,
Honestly, I think they should. If they're going to do Panther, they need to get what's his face from the Underworld.
Louis Giraverro. I guess. Yeah.
that'll do it.
I don't know. He doesn't need no voice modulation.
Or put him as Mumra. He'd probably be best.
Put a little voice. He won't be Mumra though. They'll make it'll be like Hugo Weaving. They'll pick like some British thespian actor who has like a great voice. Yeah. It'll be him. I could see somebody else, but. Be nice.
So we will see. Again, this looks like this was something happened earlier this year. It's starting to be, got snuck out a little bit of the rumors. We'll see, because a lot of these movies, that's how all these movies start off. They put a fake name on them and then, you know, go from there. I mean, you know, we all know the story of Star Wars. It was called Blue Harvest. Yes. And that's, you know, that's just so that nobody knew that they were what they were making when they were actually making it.
So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, we shall see, I guess.
So what do you got? You got anything else?
I think I have one more thing in here. Hold on, I gotta close it. It's actually a thing, not really news, but I think you posted it first, and I think we just posted on the page almost at the same time, and just hearing this rant.
Oh, yes, yes. I meant to go through it. Yeah.
If you guys haven't heard this rant by Freddie Prinze Jr. on the current Star Wars fans, you need to just listen to it. I think it's about 2-3 minutes long, but he basically nails in context all the Star Wars fans, me included.
Oh, yeah.
Me included as well. I mean, he left no stone unturned.
No, he hit me, and I'm like, oh, you're right, dude. I say that. Oh, and I sound just like that, too.
Damn. Yeah. And he basically just threw it. He basically just layeth a smackdown. That's what he did. And it's a pretty epic rant. And a lot of times when I hear people go off like that, I'm like, nah, I'll pay no attention to him. But he had a lot.
Yeah, he had a lot of good points.
A lot of good points.
A lot of good. I mean, everything from, you know, we're upset that, you know, Han Solo gave the Millennium Falcon to a chick, to, you know, hey, the video game, some of the extra, you know, the legend stuff really messed up our thought of the Force. You know, Lucas had a simple thought. He taught Dave Filoni. Dave Filoni taught, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. And, you know, and Freddie is part of the Star Wars universe. If nobody knows, he is the voice of, shoot, and I just left my head there.
Kanan Jarrus.
Kanan, thank you. Yeah, yep. I was like, man, it starts with a K. Crap. but yeah, so, I mean, he's part of the you know, the Star Wars universe and the, you know, very current Star Wars universe. And, you know, I think it's great that an actor that is part of that world has a very strong opinion and is a fan at the same time,
and it's a well thought on opinion as well. It's not like he's just throwing stuff out there. The guy knows his stuff, and the way he described the Force, he just nailed it. So if you guys haven't had a chance to listen to that, listen to it, and trust me, your mind would pretty much blown.
Yeah, and I think I wish a lot more of these Star Wars haters. There's just a couple of Facebook groups out there that are just anything that gets post period, it's just bashed. You know, that they could bash on one thing today and the exact opposite news would be dropped, and they'd bash on the exact opposite news. I think if these guys would listen to this, just open their minds, I think you would go back to that feeling of when you first watched these things and go back to being a kid again.
Yeah, that's what you have to go back to. You got to suspend your belief when you watch these movies. Don't take them so seriously. It's okay. I mean, you're not going to go to work thinking about Star Wars. And if you do, you got problems. Unless you work for Star Wars, that's a different story.
But. Yeah, and unless you're okay with your problems, which I am.
Yeah, me too. I'm okay with my problems.
All right. I don't have any other news. Do you have anything?
No, sir. That's it.
Well, we do. I think we both do have some news, but that's going to jump into our new segment. We're starting a new segment right now. We're in the middle of, you know, we just put our pinky toes, we put our Sergeant Hulkas into the water for Crisis this week. If anybody does not know what a Sergeant Hulk is, do your homework, look up Stripes. But we've got a new segment for you guys. This one is for the Crisis. All right. So what we're going to do this, we're testing the waters here, but we're going to try to do a theme where we're just going to talk about Crisis because there's a lot going on. We got news dropping, still rumors because we're still, you know, they're still out there filming, you know, for the finales of these. So
yeah,
we still got a lot of news coming out, and but a lot of the new shows are also starting.
Yes, sir, they are, and we had a ton of set pictures, which I found. I mean, I know you're not a big fan of set pictures. But
there were a couple this week. I was like, hell yeah.
There's a couple that dropped this week that were just pretty epic. I guess the first one we should just knock out of the way is basically you have the entire, not the entire Crisis cast, but you have pretty much like the main players in it. And it's a picture of Harbinger. You got Pariah. Can you believe we got Pariah in a movie?
Well, you have to have Pariah. I mean, you have to. If you're going to do a Crisis, which I'm surprised we didn't see Pariah last season. Which I was kind of like, well, why didn't we have Harbinger and why didn't we have Pariah yet?
Well, they made up for it because he got him this year.
they did and they didn't. We have him. Yes, that actor's great. I love what he's doing, but he plays everything. They should have had another actor for
Pride. Yeah, but he's great. I don't mind Kavanaugh playing.
He's good, but it's just he does everything though. He's playing how many versions of different characters?
Well, probably six.
That's my own. Yeah, that's I was like, they could have found somebody else, somebody a little bit more strung out. To me, Pariah is fucking strung out. He doesn't sleep. He's seen billions and billions upon billions of deaths. You know, he's a messed up individual. So I think they should have just found somebody a little bit more, you know, more worn out.
Well, maybe they should have, but Tom Cavanaugh's going to be there, so.
Yes, he is.
But the costume looks on point. I got to say, like, whoever designs these costumes for the Crisis series, basically from Paige to live action, they look fantastic.
Like, his looked great. I didn't think Harbinger's was all that great.
Yeah, Harbinger's okay. I mean, if you're just missing the little stupid helmet, but that's fine. It's okay.
I don't know about that one.
Who else we got? We got the new Adam in there. I guess he didn't have his costume just yet. Probably working on that. And you got the two Supermen. You got Kingdom Come, and you got the Tyler Hoechlin Superman right there.
Yep.
Along with Black Lightning. Black Lightning is going to be there. I can't wait. You know, because Black Lightning has basically been outside of this universe. And I thought when he got cast in Crisis, he was just basically going to be like, hey, we're just dropping in your world. Hey, how you doing? No, he's going to be full on Crisis, which I love, because I love the actor who plays him. Season 3 has started Black Lightning already, and it's off to a good start. If you guys haven't watched it, please just watch it. Do your homework. It's not many episodes. I believe it's like 12 or 13 a year. So, actually, no, I think it's first year was 30. Yeah, whatever. It's around the 15-20 mark. Check it out. But the photo looks great for things to come.
Yeah, I guess there were a few on there. I was like, okay, I'm kind of cool with that. Wasn't the group one I was like stoked on. I think it was the one with Flash and Black Lightning where they were standing next to each other. I thought that one was kind of pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then I think Flash with the two Supermen. I definitely dug that one.
That was really cool. So good stuff.
Yes. And from what I understand, another rumor, I don't know if you have this one in there, but apparently this Roth one is supposed to be still connected to the movies and also to Christopher Reeves.
Which would be great, because they've already connected Burt Ward, so it would make sense.
This is supposed to be the final chapter of the Christopher Reeve Superman is what one of the reports I had seen, that you know this is kind of this is his part of it. So I mean, if anybody's familiar with Crisis, there is the Earth One Superman that's in there. You know, he's got the grays and stuff. I think they're taking the Kingdom Come in that one and they're melding them into one. In this, because you want to do nods to everything, so I think that's what they're kind of doing. They're melding them both in together, because you did have the gray haired Superman in Crisis, also. So I think that's probably what they're going to be doing, and they're going to hint that was Christopher Reeve Superman, which I think is awesome.
I think that's great. I mean, they're doing their homework. Like, they're definitely doing their homework on this. So always nice to have a Christopher Reeve nod, especially in an epic series as Crisis going.
Yes, and I saw that there was another nod. That I think you're going to talk about, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I am.
Are you?
Yeah, well, he's not going to appear, but there was a news clipping. It's the closest we're going to get, and it's of the Tim Burton Batman, which is a.k.a. Michael Keaton. It's a news clipping of basically him marrying a socialite named Selina Kyle. So they're basically including the movie universe in there, and that's the Michael Keaton Batman. And it has a cool little news clipping on there. He probably won't show up, which is fine, but just to have that nice little nod in there, that including the 89 Batman. I mean, I can't even explain how cool that is.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool when I saw that. When I first saw that picture, I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. That's probably just somebody made that. And then I started seeing more and more. I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, no, they're going to actually do that. Nice.
Well, they got to include that Batman, too. So all the Batman, I guess, are going to be involved. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's going to physically show up in costume. I guess that's one of the biggest things that, you know, I've been debating with Mike for the longest time. I mean, we know Bruce Wayne is going to show up, and we've seen some stills of the Bat costume. Hell, in Batwoman, you see it. But will he show up in full costume? I don't know.
You did hear that there's another link to the 89 Batman that's going to be showing up.
Oh, who's that?
Robert Wool.
Robert Wool?
He's going to be playing Alexander Knox.
Oh, wow.
Yep, I saw that one yesterday, in fact. I was like, really? That's a cool nod right there. Just and maybe that's what it is, that image that we see. Maybe that's him, you know, out there, you know, trying to drum up his story.
I keep thinking of that line from the Joker in that movie. Who's this lost soul? That's Alexander Knox. Bad tie.
So I thought that was a kind of good, cool, another little nod to them. And the other, I think the other story for this one has kind of driven me up the wall, where they were talking about New York Comic Con, and Kevin Conroy shows up and he's all bearded up and everybody's like, oh, he's showing off his crisis face. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know if he's actually physically going to be there either.
Yeah.
You and I have had that talk, like, it could just be a voice. So I was like, I don't know if he's going to show up with a beard, but I mean, if he's going to be older Bruce, maybe.
If he's just sitting on a couch with a cane and has Ace next to his side, and he's like in his you know, his library, and then somebody just speeds in like the Flash, and he has to talk to him, that'd be cool. I'd be cool with that.
Yeah,
because I'm not gonna, you know, put my expectations too high, thinking he's gonna don the bat suit. It'd be cool if he could, but I don't think it's gonna happen. I'm gonna lower my expectations, especially when it comes to Batman being in this crisis. Because although in the comics he does play a decent role, his role's not that really that big if you think about it.
No, really, no, it's not. That's, you know, when I was running through, I've recently done a reread on the Crisis series, and he really wasn't that much into it. I mean, you really think about the characters that they chose, you know, in for the Crisis, and a lot of them were not that eventful. In fact, I've still have yet to see or hint of one of the biggest ones to be in Crisis, and we have not yet seen him, or even we've seen him one time in one show. But they haven't really mentioned him, the Spectre.
Nope.
And he's a big factor in Crisis.
I don't think he'll be in there.
I don't think so either, because that's a big one to explain. Although he was in Constantine.
Yes, he was.
So I don't know if they're taking that lean in and going, hey, you know, possibly. I mean, you don't have to have anything for Crisis. You don't have to have anything for Spectre. You can just be, you know, an image, a green, you know, glow. I mean, just like they had showed him in Constantine. I thought that was the coolest way of showing the Spectre in the Constantine series.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Speaking of Constantine, another rumor, right? I guess it's going to happen, because it wasn't on the site we got discovered. Is Lucifer Morningstar is going to show up in Crisis?
Yes, I heard that too. Yeah.
And it's actually from reliable sources, which I'm like, so do you think him and Constantine get together? I mean,
apparently that one that came out, I think maybe I read something else that they were actually seen in shooting together. It was David Ramsey, Catherine McNamara, and Matt Ryan were in with shooting an actual scene with Tom.
Oh, then just have him and Matt in the same scene. That's all you really need.
No, that's all you need. When I saw Matt and him together, I'm like, a merging of two worlds. The recognizing of his show would be awesome as well. To kind of show that. So, and maybe even with that might lead into Netflix doing a Sandman movie or TV series. That might be another hint that they might be trying to merge things together.
Maybe. I mean, you have Crisis, so this is when you start merging everything together, bringing worlds together. So yeah,
I was kind of excited on that one when I saw that. I was like, ooh, Lucifer, interesting.
Yeah, well, these guys are not dumb. They're fans. Mark Guggenheim, these guys above anything else, the showrunners of these shows and the guys who are doing Crisis, first and foremost, they're fans. They're big fans. They know their stuff. They're going through the comics. They have a lot of people on there. I mean, their TV worlds run actually a little bit better than their movie world, which is kind of crazy if you believe that. So they know what they're doing. They're going to get all the nods in there. So this is just another piece of icing on the cake that they're doing right now.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Me too. What else you got, Mike? Anything else?
Well, you and I guess we can kind of merge these together, because they do kind of fall in the same world. Titans dropped. The new Titans dropped this week. And wow.
Yeah.
I try to endorse not spoiling too much, but if nobody has seen Titans yet, please jump ahead. I want to say maybe about, like, you know, say 3-4 minutes. Maybe let's make it 5, just to be on the safe.
Yeah, do 5 minutes.
Yeah, just to jump ahead 5 minutes, because we're gonna have some talk. We got to have a real talk here.
Oh yeah.
So so I thought I can't believe where they went. I honestly thought that this was going, that they could have jumped into a show just by itself with him.
Yeah, I agree.
with they introduced Superboy for the first time. Basically went right back to the season finale of season one,
yeah,
of Titans, and showed, kind of just re-showed the whole thing of, you know, Superboy getting out, finding Krypto, and them going off, and this the journey that they had together was amazing. I thought they captured Connor, that version of Connor, the best, not the original version of Connor from after the Reign of the Superman. That was a different Connor. But this Connor, black T-shirt, you know, red Superman symbol, the jeans, they really captured him because he's dealing with anger issues, and there were definitely some anger issues.
Oh yeah,
in there, and they're talking, and just I was just blown away by the show. The fact that we hardly saw any Titans in here, which really kind of threw me for like about 20 minutes in. I'm like, are we going to see the team? Are we not? And to see how he came in to kind of save the day.
Yeah. I guess all your phone calls work. Jason Todd lives. So.
Well, actually, per that poll, there was a poll going on the DC streaming website to see if Jason Todd lives or dies. And actually, he was supposed to die. I mean, but I think all they were doing was just the poll just for, you know, humor's sake.
Yeah. So he's alive. But yeah, I would have to agree with you. Well, the first thing that popped into my mind, I was like, wow, I want to see a road trip movie with this doctor.
Yeah.
Connor. Like, that's yeah, like, like him talking about, like, who's my father? Oh, you have two fathers. Who are my dads? One of them is Superman. Who? And then yeah. Lex Luthor. And, like, and you could see, like, he has that complex thinking in his head. Like, he's got the intelligence of Lex, but he's got the powers and he's got the humanity of Superman, which is
yeah.
really and cool.
And it's, that's how, yeah, your thought of the TV show, I think that could have been, like, an Incredible Hulk kind of TV show where they travel around as he fights the duality of himself, that we will have always watched Lex and Superman battle physically. Now they're having to battle mentally inside of this kid. And I think I thought, you know, I was like, man, is this like a pilot kind of show
for another? That's what it looked like.
That's so, yeah. I was like halfway through. I was like, man, I can go for this. This can go in. So maybe, hopefully, they'll see it. You know, obviously, again, they left us with a fucking cliffhanger last week. They left us with another one this week.
They love leaving cliffhangers in season this
one. I was like, you son of a... We just had one that almost died, and now you have another one almost died. And literally, in chronologically, they're only like 2 minutes apart.
It's funny how they're stealing. It's like they're stealing stuff from the old Teen Titans series and the Young Justice series, and they're kind of just merging worlds. And putting those series together, which I find great. I mean, you're doing your homework. It's that's what we wanted. I mean, it's great. So, you know, yeah, whatever they're going to do.
Basically what Kevin Feige did in Marvel. You know, hey, here's your toy box. What do you want to do? Well, I want to use that and that and that and that. And a nice little nod, by the way, folks, to Alien 3, by the way. Or no, Alien 4.
Oh, yeah.
When he walks into the lab, yeah, I was like, well, that's really just cool. A straight up nod right there.
That was really cool when we went into that lab. I was like, oh, yeah. and that's basically season one of Young Justice too.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was all there. And I'm sorry, man, Krypto, fucking awesome dog.
I love that dog. Awesome. I'm not trading my dog right now, but I would have to have Krypto and my dog. So hey,
yeah, that was a. I don't know if those two could go together, man. That's like having Superman and Batman in the same room.
It's kind of dangerous. Yeah, it's kind of, it'll get kind of cool. So.
But, you know, if anybody's a dog lover, Krypto was the dog they had in there was great. And the actress they had to play the doctor, I hope we get to see her again. Because she just added
like a nice little touch, like a nice little humanity. And even the one that actress who played Mercy Graves, I mean, she was like very to the point. I was like, okay, that's Mercy Graves. Mm-hmm. That's who she is.
The only one I had a little trouble with was when it first started, but I liked it as it ended, was Lex's father.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. I was like, that's Lex's dad? Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
In any of the Lex's origin stories, he has never been a farmer down the street from the Kents. You know, he's either been the Smallville one where he lived down the street from the Kents, but he was a you know billionaire, or he was, you know, Lex was brought up in Suicide Row or Suicide Slums, and you know, his dad was an abusive alcoholic. And Lex ended up, you know, burning down the tenant that his dad lived in. And that's, you know, how he collected some money and started building up his career. But you never had him as that. I mean, there was a hint of the origin that he was an abusive father and an alcoholic, definitely. But never a farmhand.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I mean, it had a little hiccup on that. But other than that.
But I thought the story worked with that hiccup, though.
Oh, yeah, it did. It did. It just added, like, a different spice to it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go with it. I mean, like, whatever Titans season one did wrong, Titan season 2 has just upped the game.
Oh,
that's all I'm going to say.
And I don't think that, I wouldn't even say they did anything wrong on season 1.
Well, like a lot of people complained it was a little slow, a little mundane, didn't go anywhere, which was, I was fine with, but some people had like that complaint because I guess Doom Patrol was a little bit better, which I agree, and Doom Patrol was fun, but you know, Titans is a little bit more depthy, so you have to go, it's going to take your time with it.
Doom Patrol was a little slow, too. I don't know if people, I mean, I think the reason Doom Patrol, people liked it was because it was so fresh. Nobody knows Doom Patrol. Nobody really knew who Doom Patrol was. I mean, unless you were a hardcore sweaty, you know, there's always been a Doom Patrol, and they've always been, you know, like a C-level comic book. They were never big sellers. They were always kind of there. And I think because they were so fresh, it seemed newer. But with Titans, I think we all wanted you. I know you especially. Where's my Nightwing costume? Where's my Nightwing costume? And right now, honestly, I'm cool not seeing Nightwing.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm like, I'm good. I mean, everything that's happened so far, I'm perfectly cool with.
I like the flashbacks going to Aqualad. So, hey.
Yeah.
Just keep moving forward. Even Donna Troy, I think, is a great character to show, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think everybody's been, they found their characters. They had a good place. I love the fact, like, they were able to, they can literally, at this point, they can take a whole episode and not even show anybody from Titans.
Yeah.
That shows you how good this show is, that they can put in basically a brand new chibi show that you don't know anybody that's in here.
I'm down with
it. I mean, I thought that was amazing to see, and just the actors they're getting on here.
Yep, they're getting on point. They're getting along together like the Titans do, and then you have that little bit of a drama too, which the Titans are all about. And you know, especially with Dove with Robin, and then like the now Hawk is going out with Dove, so you have that little 90210 element. So hey, can't wait to see what they have more coming in the future.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're what, six? Was that number five or six?
I think that was five.
Five, yeah, and we're only three more left for the season.
I thought, well, they don't they have 13 or 10?
Is it? I thought they were only. Yeah, I don't think they were. They're not along. They're not like Netflix yet. I don't think.
I thought they had 13 last year. I have to look.
Is it 13? Okay, yeah, we'll have to check that. But yeah, I mean, it's still we're about halfway there, and we still got some more. Still got your Batman episode to come.
Yep, I'm waiting on it. They better not mess that one up. I'll be watching attentively.
I wonder if maybe that's going to be the next one, and that's how they get, you know, the bullets out. You know, because I think
maybe,
you know, if anybody's going to be able to know how to pull kryptonite out of somebody,
like I said, might be the smartest guy in the Justice League. Yeah, you know, it's like I said, I told you before, I guess a couple podcasts ago that, or issues, I'm sorry, I'm going to say podcast, but it is a podcast. One of my favorite scenes was when they were showing Bruce talking to Dick on the phone, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and Bruce is in his library studying some weird Mandarin Chinese language. I'm like, that's Bruce Wayne. Okay, yeah. I'm good. They nailed the Bruce character, so.
So yeah, well, hopefully we shall see. I got another week, man. I was like, son of a bitch, got another cliffhanger. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and jump into our read for the week in Legends of the Long Box.
Of the Long Box.
All right. So let's see here. We got more than enough time here. So we're gonna go ahead and cover. We're gonna do a three piece.
Okay.
And gonna let Kane go ahead.
All right. Well, I guess the first one for my edition of the Long Box is a local comic called Amped. So a couple local artists took on this Amped comic, which I recently just got finishing. And I gotta say, it's a really cool premise. It's almost very X-Men type. You got these five people who've been experimented on with this new procedure. Basically, they're all crippled. They're all confined to wheelchairs. But their minds control these five different, I guess I would call synthetic life forms, almost like robots-like. And they can pretty much do anything. A couple of them have strength, a couple of them have telepathy, a couple of them have speed. It's kind of like a different, weirder take on the X-Men, but I think so far for a first issue, pretty solid. Where they're going, I mean, you basically have the intro of this characters and what they're doing, basically funded by this odd government type of council.
Whoa, easy there, sir.
Sorry about that. I think I tripped you.
You reach, that's Kane at HearsAsylum.com. You guys can reach him anytime.
That's a little faux pas on my point. I do apologize.
It's a long pause.
But anyway, it finishes up basically, and it's basically an intro to this team. And like I said, very X-Men light type. The ending of the comic is basically them figuring out, like, hey, you know, do we have to be in these bodies, or can we do other stuff without it? And the and basically the government who controls them is trying to control these guys. It's like they're trying to sell this project to the actual government, so they're kind of like on the black sites and all that. It's interesting. It's not a bad beginning. Is it great? I thought it was too short, but it's amped. It's at your local comic book store. I don't know if it's in a... I don't know if it's anywhere besides Acme yet.
I don't think so, because it's one of those starter comics where they're building it up. You know, they're working on getting, you know, some help. You know, basically financial help. They'll draw. They'll get to a point where they'll you know start up again. And so I know with them, and there's the White Widow. You and I had talked about before. They're from the same group, and they're pretty much, I just think, at Acme.
Okay, so if you get a chance, you know, maybe. If you contact Acme through the website or call them, they'll send you a copy. But it's pretty good. It's solid beginning. As always, we're going to give the Heroes Asylum rule 5 issues or 5 episodes. We'll see where it goes.
Did you see how many that are out yet? I know, because like, I know the White Widow one, who's also a starter, you know, comic book. I know they're only like at 3. How many did you see? How many Amp had?
So far, just one. I mean,
just the one.
That was the one. Yeah. So you can catch up really fast.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, check it out, guys. If you like it, find them. Acme is a big supporter of like some startup comic book companies, and in runs, I know a couple of them. So one of the folks that works there is working on their own comic book. So definitely just support your not only just support your local guys, but support your local artists as well.
Support your local comic book stores, damn it.
Yep, I have this one came from DC. Actually, DC had a couple of good ones this week. I only really have one Marvel one. But DC came out with the Batman Grave, number 1. This is a 1 of 12. So it's a new series. It's going to at least run for a year for you guys, so make sure you check it out. So far, it's pretty good. Now, were you able to pick that up and read that one?
I got it. I haven't got a chance to read it yet.
Yeah. I'm not going to spoil too much on it. I'm just going to keep it real light. But a writer is Warren Ellis. Anybody knows who Warren Ellis is? X-Men, Hellblazer. He also did Red. I mean, Warren's been around for quite some time. Pencil was Brian Hitch. Brian was the one responsible for the Ultimates, Marvel Ultimates number 1 and number 2. And he was also part of the Stormwatch group. If anybody knows what Stormwatch was, that came from a offshoot. I think they were called the Hellstorms comic book run. And they were basically a bunch of artists that just got sick and tired of the big two telling them, and keeping their stuff. So they went off and started their own company and got some good runs. So we were talking about some really two great artists and writers that have been around a while. But basically, this one is a true return to the detective of Batman. Shows like a little bit of the noir style, but yet gives it a contemporary twist. And really, the whole book is Bruce going over a crime scene. He finds a crime scene, he calls the cops in, but before the cops show up, he does a quick digital scan of the room so he can go back home and bring up this 3D, hologram of the crime scene. And he's going through deducing things. And I thought it was a great return to the detective that I've missed of Batman. I mean, he doesn't do too much detective work anymore. I know you and I had talked about that before.
Yeah, it's one of my big negatives. I want to see it. Hopefully this new movie will dive into that.
This book will. I think this book will, not only the movie, but this book is going to it shows the big side, the big detective side of him. I think you'll love it. And it's great. The back and forth between Bruce and Alfred is very, very funny. There's times like the Alfred's just like, yeah, go do what you want, man. Yeah. There's just some moments in there. He's like, yeah, man, I made dinner. You want? No. Okay. You're cool. Go ahead. So it's a good run. And like I said, their first book on this run. So check it out. You at least got a year to read this, but I think it was a fun book. It was a different Batman book.
Hmm. Well, I already picked it up, so, I'll definitely look forward to diving into it.
Definitely read it then.
I gotcha. So I guess it's my turn, right? I picked up Bloodshot number 1. This one is done by Seeley, Booth, Corona, Dalhouse, and Sharp. They don't have any first name, just last name, so.
Oh, they're that kind of
group. They're that kind of group. So I don't know which is the artist, I don't know which is the writer, but It's basically in the bottom of the comic. It's just those.
Are they from Germany? Like, are they German artists? They got to have that avant-garde kind of.
Maybe it is silly booth Corona Dollhouse and Shop. Yeah, we are doing Bloodshot 1. No, it's of course Bloodshot comes from the very comic line, which I guess they're reintroducing slowly but surely. I wanted to pick this one up because there's a Bloodshot movie coming out next year, starring Vin Diesel. Please don't ruin it. Solid beginning. It basically, if you read Bloodshot before, nothing really changes. It's not really an origin story. Bloodshot's basically around this universe. And if you don't know who Bloodshot is, he's basically almost like a Captain America type of super soldier type of individual. He's a little bit more ticks than I would say Captain America does. Super healing, super strength, intelligence. He can, basically, if he touches a computer board, he can read that computer and all the files in it. He basically can estimate, you know, tactical things on the field also. Good with weapons, all that stuff. I would recommend it because it dives in. It dives right in. You can see what Bloodshot's all about. He's basically, his mission is to save these kids, children in this, I would say this village, that this corrupt government's trying to basically kill all the kids in there, children, blah, blah, blah. And he's just trying to get them to safety. So you can see that humanity in them. And of course, the organization that created them is hunting them down with their other group of super soldiers as well. They dive into the general, a little bit more into the general's, I would say, entourage as well. So it's going forward. I dig it. It's not bad. There's no really intro on Bloodshot. They give you like subtle hints of the past of Bloodshot. But I like it. I like it. I want to see where it's going to go. And that's issue one of Bloodshot. So I would definitely recommend checking that out, especially with the movie coming out next year. So I'm just trying to prep myself for that.
And you said they were off of what run? Off of what imprint?
It's Variant.
Variant. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought you said. Yeah, it's all Variant. I wasn't too sure.
Yeah, it's still a good old Variant.
All right, cool. Mine is actually a number one also, but this one's from Marvel. Doctor Doom number one. Ooh. This one's written by Christopher Cantrell. Doctor Doom is still Doctor Doom. He's, you know, the ruler of Latveria. He's, you know, just held up in his castle and in his country. And he's watching, as a lot of people are around the world, and the activation of something on the moon called an Antlion project. It's a basically a joint project between Reed Richards and Tony Stark. And basically it's to rid the planet of CO emissions by making a small black hole on the moon.
Oh, lovely.
Doom's being interviewed by some reporters, and you know, they're asking him, well, why are you so outspoken about this? He's like, it's a black hole on the moon. That's too dangerous. I don't, you know, he's like, yes, these guys are very smart, but they've also had a lot of screw ups in their past. And so he's, you know, very vocal against it. Through the time, he, you know, has some issues with one of the reporters and gets the reporter brought over for a friendly visit to Latveria. But as the book goes on, you learn a little bit more about him. He's having flashbacks about his family, his wife, his kid, you know, his daughter, things that happened to him or happened to them. And then at the very end of the book, something happens on that project up on the moon, and he is basically blamed for it. So it's a very interesting run for this. It's given him a very, I want to say anti-hero kind of feel, which is kind of, it was kind of cool to see.
I'll have to check it. I saw that run out there, and I didn't pick it up, but from what you say, if it's very Dr. Doom-esque, because I like when they dive into Dr. Doom being very intelligent. You know, he's basically like almost like an evil Iron Man. If you guys didn't know, he's not what they portrayed him in the movies with the electrical powers. That's ridiculous. I wish they would totally burn those movies. But he's a very intelligent dude. He rules his own country. He's been through a lot of crap in his life. So just seeing him going back to him being like, he's the evil Tony Stark. Let's just call it for what it is. That's basically what he is. He's an evil Tony Stark. He's got brains on his head. And we're going to dive in deep to his intelligence and what he can do. Because in the comics, he's beaten some people who are way more powerful than he is. Because he's an intelligent guy, so I'll definitely have to check out Doom number one.
Yeah, it was good artwork too. I couldn't find out who did the artwork on it. He was one of those weird ones. Just was Christopher. I don't know if Chris did both of them or not. I mean, we've seen it sometimes, but So what do you have next,
sir? My last one for the week is a new one. It's actually, I always buy these indie comics. This one's called, sorry about that, I think I dropped it. Hold on one second. It's called Midnight Sky. This one is done by James Pruitt, Scott Van Dorlen, who I think is German, and Maria Fella. And this comic, basically, I was reading it, and it almost has a similar premise if you've ever watched the TV series V. It's very close to that.
Really?
It's not at... Well, let me get to the review, because...
Okay.
don't get your hopes up too high.
Get ready to start downloading.
Relax before you download. The beginning of the comic is basically this family. They're moving to Florida. Go figure that. Don't move to Florida, because it sucks. And they get in the car. There's his husband, and he's moving with his kids. And there's this dog barking next door. The dog has been barking forever, ever since they lived there. So now they're moving. So the guy goes next door with a baseball bat and kills a dog. That's not a spoiler. I'm sorry it happens. I hate when they kill animals too. But yeah, he kills a dog. Then they're moving to Florida. They get there. And basically it flashes forward to 13 years in the future. The world is under this apocalyptic rule. And I guess you find out during the duration of this comic that her husband is an alien. And basically... the kids that she has is an alien. Her son is an alien. But when they were moving, she was pregnant with another child, which is a girl. And the girl doesn't come out as an alien. She comes out as something a little bit more differently. And that's how the issue ends. It's an apocalyptic world that's going on. Of course, humans are on the run, and they're afraid of these things. I didn't like the way it was. Like, the middle of the comic... not great, because you have the humans, they're always angry, bitter, blah, blah, blah. The ending, I want to find out more about the girl, what kind of power she has. That's why I said, don't download it just yet. Give it the 5-issue run, because I'm kind of skeptical. I didn't like it too much. Like, the beginning was okay. The ending is good. The middle is where I had my issues with it, because it just felt too bland, too boring. Like, okay, humans are pissed off at aliens pretending to be humans, and just back and forth. And so I don't know where it's going to go. I'm going to try... to do the 5-issue run, if it's going to be 5 issues, I don't know, but that is basically Midnight Sky, and don't download it yet. Give it a little bit, because, like I said, beginning great, ending great, but if the middle is not good, there's no meat to it, and hopefully there's some more meat and issues to come, but that's,
I'll definitely keep an eye out on that one and see. My next one. Is, and again, I you and I have talked about this before on the Legends section, the DC's doing the Year of the Villain, and there's some hits or misses, mostly misses for me. This one actually is a hit. This is Year of the Villain, Joker, number one. And so far, they've been doing all these villain ones, and it's really just been one run. Lex Luthor, number one. I'm trying to remember the one. Riddler, number one. I haven't seen a Riddler, number two, come out yet. So I think these are just like one-offs, just to kind of give an idea. And this is a much different Joker. This isn't part of the year one run. I think they're just trying to make more an evil kind of thing going on here. But you have... writer is Anthony Birch. If anybody knows who Anthony Birch is, he is... very new to comic book runs. Actually, he is the writer for Borderlands 2, the video game. And also John Carpenter from Halloween and The Thing.
Hey, John.
So John has jumped in. This is his first foray into comic books. Basically, the story runs around the Joker is escaping from Arkham. Oh my, oh my. That pesky Joker.
Shocker.
He takes along a young... kid, young boy, that was also in trouble there as well. I don't think the kid was like any mastermind or anything. I think he's just, just a juvenile delinquent. And he basically turns the kid into his new number one. They go around, Joker finds where all of his, his gang have been, held up, and he kills them. So really it's just Joker and him driving around. Really different Joker. The look on him is very different. I forgot to find out who the artist was on this. The styling is a lot different. It's really weird. Instead of like borderlines for the panels, all it is a bunch of ha 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 ha, just H-A-H-A-H-A-H-A all around for the borders, which I thought was kind of interesting. And basically this kid slowly realizes, you know, he's like, man, this guy's nuts. And eventually throughout this, he realizes the Joker isn't nuts. He's sane. He knows what he's doing. And it's an interesting nod because they go into actually, there's a fun nod that they go into a store and rob it. But at the same time, as they're getting ready to leave, Joker seems to see some Halloween costumes and they're Batman and Robin costumes. And he's like, hey, how much are these? Then they go start running around the city pretending to be Batman and Robin. Hey. You know, they run over to a guy that's walking his little, you know, dog, you know, his little bulldog out in the park. And they're like, oh, he seems like a miscreant. Let's go get him. Again, you talk about, you know, there was a scene where this guy killed a dog. This one, they killed a dog. Also, yeah, sorry. It's apparently PETA might be getting in touch with some of the comic book groups soon.
I think they should.
But, you know, so they're running around, like I said, just dressed up as Batman and Robin through the town. And the ending does a heavy nod to Death in a Family. It's the best way I can put it. Interesting run. I think it's just a one-off, like I said. When I first read it, it was hard to read. The rhythm. When you're reading a book, you know, you got to find that rhythm of each book has a different rhythm, and you have to kind of follow it. This one was tough. It took me 2 reads to really find the rhythm to it because it was so... The writing was very psychotic in a way sometimes because it was so jumpy, and it kind of helped you understand the Joker's mindset on some of it. But again, fun read. John Carpenter, I think, did a great job. And like I said, both of these gentlemen here are new to comic books. So to write for comic books, I know, is different than just writing for a script of a movie. Yeah, there are certain things you have to take into consideration.
Yeah, totally different. So I saw this. This is one of the things I actually had in my hand, but,
You should have done it. Especially you as a John Carpenter fan, when you told me you didn't, I was like, what? You're a huge fan. Why wouldn't you pick his book up?
Yeah, I know.
Especially now, you know, you're a huge fan of John Carpenter, you're a huge fan of Batman. It's like a twofer.
Yeah, it was a little odd. So,
that's like Kevin Smith writing a book for Superman. I mean, like, I don't know, I might pick that up later.
But I'll definitely have to pick it up now. So
yep. And there is one book I have left. Just about that time, it's out, I think, just for Halloween, but it's called Secrets of Sinister House #1, and small little mini stories, very similar to, you know, Tales from the Crypt, and they follow a lantern, they follow John Constantine, they follow the Swamp Thing. Very cool. The John Constantine story is really cool, and they're just like stories of retribution for you know, the dead, or for certain people that, you know, that did something wrong, especially the John Constantine one. The Green Lantern one follows the new female Green Lantern. Can't remember her name.
Jessica Cruz, right?
Cruz, yes. Cruz and her partner. What's his name? The black guy. It's not Bruez or something like that.
I'll have to look it up.
But it follows them. It follows you have an issue with a story with Boston Brand, which is great. You have one with Mr. Mixaplex and Bonzo, the monkey.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't seen Bonzo in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, you get Martian the Manhunter who meets another alien who's trying to survive on Earth. Then you find one which I thought was quite funny was Zatanna and Harley Quinn. Zatanna's traveling around the country for her shows that she does, and she somehow runs into Harley Quinn, like in this weird desert area. And she's like, God, I need to not, hopefully she won't recognize me. But in the meantime, she's got Zatanna written on the side of the trailer. So,
that's, you know, cool.
Harley's like, hey, Z. And they end up going to a haunted hotel, and they have to fight, oddly enough, of everything, clowns.
Oh, shocker.
But it is a fun one. And then also there's the first story on there is a story called Earthworms with the new Ant-Man.
Hmm.
So you have an intro, Ryan Choi, or Cho.
Ryan Choi.
Yep. And then one of the last stories they had, actually, no, this was the very first story they had was, I know you weren't a fan of that Batman run, but the Blood Rain.
Oh,
where he becomes but it's an actual kind of, it's a really cool one where they show like how he's become a vampire bat or a vampire with more bat like qualities. Mm-hmm. You see he has to fight an owl, basically the court of owls. That one, if you guys are in for the, you know, for your horror theme and want to have fun, there's each mini story is written by different artists or in writers. So definitely check it out. There are a lot of fun stories in there.
Sounds like some good stuff, especially around the Halloween time. It'd be a good little read.
Yeah, at first I thought it was like Mystery House, like the John Constantine's house. I thought it was going to be like stories like from there, but it's just jumping around to different, like I said, Tales from the Crypt kind of, you know, stories.
Well, there's an idea, maybe somebody could write that, like Tales from John Constantine's Funhouse.
Yeah, don't forget, guys, if you are wanting to get in Constantine, this is the month. I don't remember what day. It wasn't last week, so hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we're going to see the new run for Constantine.
Yep, I can't wait.
Black Label.
Yeah,
I'm stoked on that one. That is definitely a pickup. I am a digital fan, but that was one I'm definitely wanting in one hard copy when that does come out.
It's going to be a good one to get. Can't wait.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Folks, I want to apologize for last week, by the way. Apparently, my editing skills needed some work. I cut off the show 5 minutes early. Something in my – I don't know what happened. I mixed the whole thing and edited everything, and when I uploaded it, we were missing the last 5 minutes of the show. So I do apologize. And I cannot find the last 5 minutes either. So we're kind of just going to – we're going to call those the missing 5 minutes. Kind of like the 52 of DC. This is the 5 minutes of Heroes Asylum that we just don't know what happened. We'll figure it out, you know.
It's somewhere in the multiverse, man.
In a couple of years, yeah.
Maybe he'll
come back and haunt us.
Never know. There's some things that can
so,
come back.
Yeah, so I just want to apologize for that, guys. But do check out the heroesasylum.com website. We are up and running. Kane has his the midnight movies going right now. We've dropped a bunch of stuff. We did some recording this week. We have one Halloween one coming out. I'm probably going to drop that here and probably by next week. I got to do some magic editing on that one too. Kane put out his first review. So guys, definitely go out there and check that out. I enjoyed listening to him and hearing, cause there's movies I hadn't seen yet. So it's kind of cool to listen to those. And you also did another Dark Knight, the sequel.
Yes, the sequel. I finished that up, so the Dark Knights Part 1 and 2 are in the can. And they were fun to do. I can look forward to doing some more of that DC animated stuff. That was my favorite, too. So maybe I'll pick some more obscure ones. Who knows?
Yeah, we're gonna be branching that out. And don't forget, guys, on the Midnight Movie channel is where you're gonna be able to hear our retrospect on Star Wars, which will be dropping October 20th is the launch date. Well, we will be dropping Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, and we'll be breaking down all of them up until the last week before Rise of Skywalker comes out.
Should be fun stuff. As Captain Mike always says, you can locate us on Twitter at The Heroes Asylum and Instagram at The Heroes Asylum. Do check out the Midnight Movie Review page and drop some reviews on there this week. As Captain Mike has just said, more stuff to come. And as always, get to the asylum.
Have a good week, folks. See you Wednesday.
See you.